Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to the weekly Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from virginiasports.com. Back by popular demand today is a man who's become synonymous with UVA wrestling, and that's head coach Steve Garland. Steve, always great to have you back on the show. How are you doing?
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for the kind words.
So this is your 13th season as head coach at your alma mater. When you wrestled for UVA, did you ever dream of coming back here to coach?
Oh, sure. I always wanted to coach, but I definitely didn't realize, you know, my dream would come true so quickly. I mean, when I got the job here, I'm pretty sure I was the youngest head coach in the country. And so now I can look back and say, praise God that I was able, that he opened up those doors for me, because I definitely didn't see that happening that quickly. But it was always something I think every wrestler wants to be at their alma mater.
Right. Every coach goes into a new season with an idea in his head of how his team might do. Then the matches start, and some wrestlers overachieve, some of them underachieve, some guys get hurt.
Yep.
Things happen kind of out of your control. Your team right now is 9-6 in dual meets. You're ranked in the top 25. Has the season unfolded at all the way you expected it would?
Well, that's a great question. Here's what I'll say is I'm very excited about – where we're at. I mean, we've wrestled. If you look at our schedule, we've wrestled ranked team after ranked team after ranked team. I mean, we even started with the Big Ten right off the bat. Indiana, who, oh, by the way, beat UNC Chapel Hill, who's ranked 13th in the country. They beat them this year, and we beat them right off the bat. And we've had no downtime, no easy matches. Everything's been a grind. Everything's been a battle. So to see where we're at, not just record-wise, but the way our guys are competing, with the exception of one or two dual meets, yeah, I say I'm very proud of where we're at right now. I would also say you hit the nail on the head about guys who exceed sort of pundit expectations, what the rankings say. A guy like Jay Aiello, who's not only has he broken through the top 10, but ranked as high as 7th in the country, he's beaten, I think, 5 or 6 nationally ranked guys and took 3rd at the toughest tournament in the country in Vegas. Those are types of things you want to see. Now, we always believed in Jay, but I think the wrestling world has been really shocked in a good way by what he's done. I mean, obviously, in our program, everybody knows Jack Mueller. A lot of people know Louis Hayes, but that was a cool breakthrough to see with him, and we've got a lot more to go. We still have a lot of work to do as well, but it's nice to see where we're at right now.
Only two seniors on the roster, Will Chaney and Chance McClure. Is this the youngest team you've ever had here?
I think so, that I can remember. Gosh, I talked to Carla and Steve, my supervisors, about the team early on in the season. I said, I just kept trying to explain to them that we've got an awesome group and they're an exciting group, but we are extremely young. I mean, very, very, very young. And we don't lose. Here's the good news, though. I can't talk too much detail because it's not all in dotted lines yet, but we're going to bring in a deep recruiting class next year, and we're really excited about that group. And we only lose, like you said, two guys.
Right.
So think about all those young guys coming back, all those young guys, God willing, developing and being healthy, and then what we've got coming in. The future's pretty darn bright. It's going to be an exciting, deep, deep room. I mean, you walk in that room, you're going to have to earn your spot.
Your guys are coming off a second-place finish at the Virginia Duels in Hampton, where you knocked off two ranked opponents before losing in the final to Virginia Tech. I think you described the loss to Tech as humbling. It looked like there were some 50-50 matches early that went the Hokies' way, and that kind of swings the momentum totally in one direction. Can some good come out of that loss?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Right off the bat, Mueller comes out and gets a bonus point win, gets a technical fall, which really got us going in the right direction. Louis loses a really close battle with a great nationally ranked kid. And look, I don't want to offend that other kid or say anything bad about that young man. I just believe wholeheartedly in Louis that Louis can beat that guy. And then at 41, we were winning handily. We were up 5-0 with riding time, and we were totally in control. Sam Krivas was wrestling one of the better complete matches he's wrestled all year, and he got hit, and the kid's got a really good, what we call a cement job, and he got caught in his best hold and got pinned, and that turned the dual meet around right there. And the wheels, we were winning at 49, wheels come off. So what you learn from it is, A, cinching down those wins because each individual bout matters, and B, is don't let the wheels come off this time. We are in control of that. We can control what we can control. And Jake Keating, who's tied 3-3 with the young man from Tech, doesn't need to do that throw at that moment in the match. He doesn't need to pull that out then. And so, obviously, if those first five weights go different, we've got a battle on our hands, but that's not what happens. So I do want to make sure I reiterate what you said about the ranked teams. We also it doesn't take away what we did. We knocked off Arizona State. I mean, great wins the week before or the tournament before South Beach. We knocked off nationally ranked Utah Valley State, who had just beaten the number 13th ranked team in the country the round before we wrestled them. That's what I mean about the teams we've been wrestling. It's been one after another. Then we, you know, before that, to close off the semester, we wrestled Missouri in Kansas City in a sold out gym and had them down to the last bout. And they haven't lost a match in 30 matches. I think they're 31-0 or something like that right now in their last 31 matches. So really, again, proud about what the kids have been doing.
I mean, I know you've told me before going into postseason at the ACC tournament or NCAA, momentum, I mean, these matches don't occur in a vacuum. Momentum is a huge deal in your sport.
Huge.
If you get an upset at one weight, then it just pumps up the whole team, it seems like.
And vice versa.
If you have a loss, it's very deflating. And, you know, we've seen it both ways.
You better believe it. And dual meets, that's why dual meets are so much fun. And that's why we try to stick to the dual meet tournaments as much as we can. To see our guys, like, for example, after we beat Arizona State, the freshmen who were redshirting were sweating through their clothes, screaming their heads off. They all had headaches from screaming so loud for their teammates. It's just so exciting. But that we kept building off each other, right?
Yep.
And the next round, we felt the exact opposite of that against Tech, is where we're getting – you know, we got pinned twice in matches we were winning. And then, I mean, gosh, you could just feel it in the bench. You could just feel the – oh, you feel like you're going to throw up, you know? It just and the guys couldn't shake out of that. And that's something we're going to be talking about moving forward, is with the ACC duels coming up, how do we make sure that we stay locked in regardless of what the guy before you did? Because at Missouri, we did a good job of that. Because we got pinned in a couple matches there, and then we just came right back on the horse. So that's what we got to do.
We wrestle Virginia Tech in Blacksburg on February the 16th. Then you're back down to Blacksburg for the ACC tournament in March, so you'll get more opportunities to kind of avenge that.
Let's hope.
The biggest story so far this season undoubtedly has been the return of Jack Mueller, who originally was planning to redshirt this season. He's 8-0, bonus points in every match, I think 4 pins, 3 Tech falls, and 1 major. Yeah. For listeners who are not familiar kind of with Jack's story this year, can you kind of fill us in quickly?
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to the World Championships and was going to redshirt.
So he made the world team this summer, the U23 world team, which was a phenomenal accomplishment for him in the program, and really excited for him. And at that point, we decided that our sole focus was going to be on winning that world championship. And so throughout the rest of the summer, we had a great plan. And throughout the beginning of the fall, it was nothing but freestyle focus. Went to the Worlds. I was out there with him in Romania. I got to be an assistant coach on that squad, and he ended up taking 5th place. He lost in the bronze medal match, and all of his matches were shootouts. But he was very, very close to winning a world championship. Let's just say that. And it was really exciting to see the way he wrestled and how much better he had gotten. And so when we got back, we were riding high. He was taking a break, and essentially what happened was Louis Hayes had to move up to 133.
Right.
He physically couldn't make the weight anymore, and we tried everything we could, and it couldn't happen. And so we sat down with Jack and asked him, you know, what did he think? And he didn't take any time. He said, I'll go. And so it was an awesome moment for our program to have our big superstar back and get him in there. And it really has been an ignition for our team.
Jack wrestled at 125 as a freshman. He was an All-American. He bumped up to 133 last season. He's back at 125 now. Is it unusual for a wrestler as an upperclassman to drop back down to a weight the way he has?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's unusual. It definitely happens.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of discipline for that to happen. And so hopefully some of my other guys on the team are listening to this, is that the reason why he's able to do that is because he's so disciplined in all these other areas of his life, specifically diet, water intake, sleep, everything. His extra workouts, how serious he takes everything, go figure he was able to do it. Because, oh, by the way, he crushed guys at 33 as well. I mean, if you look at the ranked guys at 33, he's beaten a lot of those guys too. So he can do whatever he wants, but he chose to go down because that's the weight he feels he feels the most comfortable at. But that takes a lot of discipline year-round.
You mentioned Louis Hayes. He was at 125 last season, had a dynamite year. He's up at 33. Seems like this has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride for him competitively.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going against bigger, stronger guys. He's adjusting to the weight. What do you think the second half of the season will bring? Do you see him getting more comfortable at 33?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, sure. I mean, he was ranked 7th in the country at 125 during the season, was doing well, but it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment. And Jack and I were actually talking about the difference between 33-pounders and 25s, and I wrestled both, so I know exactly what he's talking about. I wrestled the exact weight classes in college myself, so I know they're just longer, the leverage. And so Louis just making adjustments right now. He's feeling that. He looks better every time out there, I can tell you that. He looks like a completely different guy than the guy who stepped on the mat against Missouri. He looks – physically, he looks a lot better. He's doing extra lifts. He's moving a lot better. I think he's going to figure it out for sure.
Let's talk about some of your other wrestlers at 157 pounds. Jake Keating, he's 13-7. He kind of lives on the edge, doesn't he? When he gets on the wrestling match, it can be one extreme or the other.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Just like I said earlier about our schedule, that guy's wrestled so many darn guys nationally ranked. Forget about it. I mean, it's just been incredible. And so his RPI is going to be through the roof. I mean, most of our team's going to be like that. But and my point is, in some of those matches, when he sticks to the fundamentals and then throws in his mm-hmm. stuff, his special stuff, those are the big wins he's had. He's had ranked wins over, you know, the kid from Missouri and other guys like that, Arizona State. It's when he gets in trouble is when he just tries to go for broke in the first 30 seconds and doesn't combine fundamentally sound stuff with the gifts that he's blessed with. That's when he gets himself in trouble. So I don't want to say live by the sword, die by the sword, because I think that he's shown that he doesn't need to wrestle like that. And I think God willing, we're going to see that Jake moving forward, where the guy who combines really good fundamentals and heavy hips defense with also all that great stuff he can do that you can't teach.
Your starting 74-pounder has been Robbie Patrick, true freshman. He's battling. Is it tougher for a true freshman at a higher weight than it is maybe a 25-pounder?
Absolutely.
Just, you're wrestling men, aren't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, it's a function of our schedule is insane. He has who's been easy? Right? I mean, and so I think that not having any sort of reprieve from it, too, but he's a tough guy. By the way, Drew Peck is also wrestled 174 for us as
right.
well.
Right, he's 9-5,
and trying to push him every step of the way. And so, you know, that's also stress, but it's also good stress. And so Drew stepped up for us and came out of redshirt for that Missouri match. So they're both really young, though. One's a freshman and one's a true sophomore. So they're both just 1 year apart. So, yeah, I think it's not about where you start to where you finish. I keep trying to tell these guys of how battle-tested they are. Come March, those matches are going to feel like a walk in the park with everything we've been through.
At 141, you have Sammy Crevis, who's been an NCAA wrestler. 15-6 this season.
Yep.
Where's he in kind of his development? Has he taken another step this year?
He's always been really good. He was a huge recruit coming out of high school. He's a 2-time national qualifier. He went 2-2 at nationals. He's got the experience. He's very good. He's got big wins on his resume his whole career. I think he can beat anybody on any given day when he decides to truly compete with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. I mean, he's phenomenal. Now, consistency has been something with Sammy that we're all
right.
trying to get him to figure out. I mean, Travis Paulson is his particular mentor. He's been really close with Sammy, and he's talked to him about that a bunch of times. And you know, here's an example. So Sam wrestled the number 7th ranked guy in the country from Oklahoma. It was double overtime. The match could have went either way. And then he also beat the kid from Wyoming twice, who, by the way, beat the Oklahoma State kid. So he's right there with all those guys. But then he has, you know, some setbacks where you're thinking, geez, what was that? And now I think that he's smart enough. I think he's capable enough. I think he's absolutely working hard. I think he'll make the adjustments. And I think you're going to see a really good Sam Crevis at the end of the year.
Who's been the biggest surprise, in your opinion, this season?
Well, I wouldn't say surprise. Surprise is interesting. I would say guys that have surprised the wrestling world are guys like J.A.L.O.,
right.
Quinn Miller. Quinn Miller as a redshirt freshman beating the 11th ranked heavyweight in the country and beating a top 15 ranked guy from Drexel at Vegas. And I think he's a very special talent. I also think that I think Cam Coy, Michael Murray, I think a lot of our guys have shown these shimmers of brilliance. I mean, Cam Coy was, by the way, in overtime with the second-ranked wrestler in the nation. Overtime. And frankly, I think kind of it was a little bit of a controversial call in overtime, the first regulation, where the ref gave him the takedown, and then they protested, and they took it back. So I think we've had a lot of guys that have exceeded expectations of the wrestling community, and that's exciting to see as a coach.
This is year 2 at UVA for the Paulson twins, Travis and Trent, who are your full-time assistant coaches. You're being overrun by Paulsons, are you not? Now you have a volunteer. Tell me about your volunteer assistant.
Yeah, volunteer Trevor Paulson. That's Travis and Trent's nephew. It's funny. I'm waiting for the wives and mom to come in, you know, and just take over the office, and I won't even show up anymore.
What have those guys meant, particularly, you know, Travis and Trent? This is year two for them.
Yeah.
Well, I know you were really excited about bringing them on.
I've had some great assistant coaches, but I would say that their biggest gift is connection with the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I almost get envious of it sometimes. I mean, they're very, 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 very close. The kids love them. The kids adore them. They want to do anything for them, and that's obviously a sign of a great coach, right? I think that they're very special that way. I also think that we hit it off on a much deeper level personally.
Right.
I won't get into detail, but we share the same belief system, and so it's been really cool to get our families together and how close we've gotten behind the scenes. So even though we disagree virtually every day on a lot of things, we're able to get through that at a really cool level, interpersonal level, because we love each other. So I know it sounds corny, but it's the truth.
It's not common in your sport, or at least here, to get an experience a transfer mid-year who's eligible, who's got a track record. You just got one, right?
Correct. Yeah. So Denton Spencer, who just transferred from Gardner-Webb. Denton and I go way back. I actually did an FCA wrestling camp down at Osceola High School in Florida, and he was there as a little kid. I think he was barely 15 years old, 10th grader, maybe just going into 10th grade. And we met there and then stayed in touch. And then after he won high school nationals, his junior year, he came up on a visit. And we thought we were going really deep with him. We were like, man, this guy's really interested. And then, I kid you not, it was like a couple weeks later, he committed to Gardner-Webb. We were really shocked. Not anything against Gardner-Webb. I'm really close to their coach, but it was more about what about us. And kind of lost touch with him. He beat us head-to-head a bunch of times, beat a lot of Virginia guys last year as a freshman. And then when he called, it was like, oh, my goodness, this is a no-brainer. We got to get this guy. I mean, I remember him from not just high school, but then also him beating us. And I heard he's a great kid. And we did all the, you know, we hard worker, and he's skilled. He's a very skilled, gifted guy. So we think he can help us and contribute in a big way.
You wrestled in the ACC. You've coached in the league for more than a decade now. It hasn't always been considered a big-time conference for wrestling, I think it's fair to say, but you look at the top 25 now, you got NC State, Virginia Tech, Pitt, UNC, Virginia, all in there now. How has the sport of wrestling changed in the ACC over your years?
I'm so glad you brought that up. Our conference is absolutely legit. Our conference is extremely competitive. Our conference, it's just every single weight class, every team is tough, 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 tough.
And, I mean, I think even tough. 5 years ago, that
crazy
wasn't,
how much
wasn't the case.
No, I mean, it's real deal. I mean, all the coaches are working their butts off. All the coaches are doing a great job. The kids are, they're fearless now. I mean, when I got into the conference in 1990, whatever, 6, 5, I don't even know how, but wherever it was when I got here, 96, I can remember going to Nationals the first time and feeling like people didn't really believe they belonged out there with some of those guys. It's not that way now. When an ACC guy steps on the mat, I don't care what school, they're going to beat you. They think they can beat you.
Right.
And that's been the change.
On the facilities front, University Hall and Honesty Hall are now vacant, I believe. Their days are numbered. Several of our teams have been relocated to the training grounds on what was the Cage parking lot. Wrestling is not one of them. Your operation has moved from Honesty to Mem Gym. What's that move meant for your program? You're you're in the same place to train that you actually compete.
Well,
now
there's positives and negatives with all of it, but I would say the positives are this. Number one, logistically for the student athlete, it's huge because it's right in the middle of campus.
Yeah.
It's not removed like we were over here. They can walk, you know, 2 blocks from the rotunda and be right at the locker room and right at the wrestling room. Secondly, the wrestling room came out even better than we thought. It's absolutely beautiful and aesthetically, but also functionally, it's safe. We've got we spent a lot of money on padding underneath to make it safe for the kids. Brand new mats, brand new wall padding. The graphics are beautiful. So the wrestling room is great for what we need. Now the devil will be in the details, right? It's the locker room, you know, getting tightened up. The offices aren't finished yet.
Right.
The weight room's just finished up. Just things like that. And so when we're out of the construction phase of things, I think I'll be a much calmer, happier person. But, you know, and that's coming. That's down the road.
Right.
It's just a matter of working through that.
You have several guys wrestling unattached this season who I think the plan is to redshirt them. Justin McCoy, 18-1.
Yeah.
Victor, is it Marcelli or Marcelli?
Marcelli, yeah.
He is 15-4. Ben Kamali's having a good year.
Yeah.
Do you get tempted to use these guys when they're doing that well?
You better believe it. Yeah, it was a – yeah, for sure. Gosh, I mean, that's one of the toughest things about being a coach. It's funny, I talk to coaches in other sports, and they don't redshirt like in wrestling, I guess, right. A lot of them. I think more what I'm trying to focus on right now is just how exciting it's going to be to have these guys in that single next year,
right.
and what they're going to mean to the program. And gosh, I mean, look, Will Shaney right now is injured. You know, I mean, Will Shaney's dealing with something severe, and he's coming back, but we've missed him, and you know, so you're looking, thankfully we have Chance McClure, who's a fifth year senior, who's been filling in and battling and doing everything we ask of him. But you know, it's always one of those things where you're always looking. That's why you need the depth. And so I guess what I'm getting at is, moving forward, that's what we want to keep building, is that depth where we can absorb these crazy injuries, because they happen.
Yep.
We've seen it. They happen time and time again. You know, so that's what I'm excited about, is the retention of these guys over time. So you got the Jack Mueller class, Louis Hayes, Michael Murphy, Sam Martino, JL. That group's a phenomenal group. Then last year's group with Quinn Miller and Brian Courtney and the Salt of the Earth kids. And then this group with McCoy and Patrick and Marcelli and Kamali. These guys are awesome. And so they love it. They're all the same type of kid. And they're not going anywhere. And then when you add more awesomeness to that, that's a heck of a room. And that's something that I think as a coach, that's what you want to see.
Your weekly video reports are posted on Twitter, among other places. They're mandatory viewing for anybody interested in UVA wrestling. On your latest one, I think I heard you say that the atmosphere for one of the dual meets in Mem Gym this season wasn't as good as it could have been.
Yeah,
you have four more dual meets at home this season, starting Sunday afternoon against Ohio. How much difference does a loud, engaged crowd make in a dual meet?
Gosh, it's huge. I mean, we've had some – I remember the first huge win we had in there was years ago. We beat Maryland when they were ranked 12th in the country. They were 12-0 in the year. We won the first five or six weight classes and just shocked them. I mean, it was awesome, and people were going nuts, and it was packed, and it was hot in there. I mean, yeah, it makes a difference. When the opposing coaches are coming up to you going, wow, that's a great place to wrestle. And so, yeah, it was really disappointing that our first, you know, match against a Big Ten team to kick off this exciting season with this exciting young team, and the crowd wasn't good. And so I sort of lovingly and not lovingly maybe called out our friends and family and followers and said, hey, guys, what are we doing? Let's go. You need to come see these guys compete. Come see Shake and Bake, Louis Hayes and Jack Mueller back-to-back. And come see Sam Kreeves, who's nationally ranked. Come see these guys. And so that's what I'm hoping is going to happen.
Yeah, well, I hope there's a big crowd Sunday for the Ohio meet. First, you got VMI tomorrow night in Lexington. Good luck with that one. The rest of the season, the future looks bright for your program. Thanks, as always, for coming over here, for making time for this.
Thanks, brother. Thank
you. All right, for information on wrestling and all our other sports, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.